Bibles with me and turn to the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. Daniel chapter 9. We are going to get back into Revelation tonight, Revelation chapter 6, but we're going to take a little bit of time getting there, and we're going to do a little bit of review from what I talked about last week. And so we're going to start in Daniel chapter 9, and then we'll work our way to Revelation. We're going to look at Mark, actually the text that I would have preached if I continued this morning, preaching in Mark. We're going to look at that, and then we're going to look at our text in Revelation. Going to read a lot of scripture, and hopefully you'll understand why as we go through this. But let's start in Daniel chapter 9, and we'll read verses 24 to 27. The Bible says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay, that is a mouthful. If you remember last week, what I did last week is I did an overview of different views of the millennium, different views, different schemes for interpreting prophecy. And we talked about post-millennialism and amillennialism and preterism and premillennialism. And I explained to you why I am a premillennialist and why I use the premillennialist hermeneutic, if you will, that scheme, that method for understanding the book of Revelation. And I told you that key to this is this idea of Daniel's 70 weeks. And we're going to see that Jesus, when he referenced prophecy, when he talked about the end times and the tribulation, he also referenced this passage of scripture here in the book of Daniel. If you remember, Daniel prophesied that there would be 69 weeks, and those were weeks of years, not weeks of days, 69 weeks before Jesus came. And so after a certain point, and that would be the decree of Artaxerxes, it happened in 457 BC, there were 683 years until the time that Christ's ministry began, in AD 27. That's 69 weeks of years. But he talked about 70 weeks, and the 70 week was different. If you look again at verse 27, it says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of that week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right. So what premillennialists believe is that God, we are living in a church age right now that Daniel did not foresee. And it is a parenthesis between that 69th and 70th week of Daniel. And it's an undetermined period of time. It could last thousands of years. It already has lasted thousands of years. It could continue to last for thousands of years. We don't know. But at some time, the events of this 70th week, which is just 7 years, at some time this is going to take place. And we call that the Great Tribulation. And that's what we're going to be looking at. I believe the part of Revelation that we're starting to look at, really the vast majority of the book of Revelation, I believe, is predicting events that are going to take place during the Great Tribulation. And we will look at that. So, before we do, I want us to look at some verses in Mark. So if you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 13, I'm not going to read all of these verses, but I'm going to read most of them, okay? And you can read the ones that we don't read together. But Mark chapter 13 is a long passage, and this is Jesus' description of the end times. It's called the Olivet Discourse. Okay? Jesus' prophetic passage right here. All right? And we'll read verses 4 to, let's see, verse 4 to 8, and then we'll read verses 14 to verse 27. Okay? It says, tell us, the disciples say, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Now skip down to verse 14. Read the rest in your own time there, okay? But verse 14 says, but when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that's what we just read, verse 27 of Daniel, verse 27 of Daniel. All right, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, and let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein, to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord hath shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And if any shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, and lo, here he is, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to deduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of the heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable. We'll stop there, okay? But that's what Jesus was talking about. That's Jesus' description of this end time period. Okay, now, with that in mind, let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. And this is where we left off when I stopped going through Revelation. And we're just going to read the first 8 verses here of Revelation chapter 6 tonight. And we'll cover the next verses next week, Lord willing. But we're gonna read this, and I'll give some explanation in a second. It says, And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they shall kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou, hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. All right, so I believe this passage speaks of the tribulation. If you remember, and you probably don't, because it's been like a month and a half since we looked at Revelation, but Revelation chapter 5 is sort of the prelude to this. And in Revelation chapter 5, John sees a scroll in heaven, and that scroll has seven seals. This was sort of common practice that they would seal these scrolls with wax to make sure that only the appropriate person saw what was inside of them. It was kind of like when you lick an envelope so you know that it hasn't been tampered, right? They sealed these envelopes seven times as extra measures of precaution. And John sees this scroll. He sees this seven-scrolled scroll, and he starts crying because nobody is worthy to open this scroll. But then the angels tell him not to worry, not to cry, because the Lamb, Jesus, is worthy to open this scroll. And they start popping these seals here in chapter number 6, one at a time. There's seven seals, all right? And each of these seals, when they're opened, something happens on the earth. Something happens that's part of the Great Tribulation. And we're going to talk about the first four of those seals. And by the way, after the seven seals are done, then there's seven trumpets that blow. And there's terrible things that happen for each of those seven trumpets. And after those seven trumpets blow, there's seven vials that are poured out. And there's even more terrible things that happen for each of those. There's a huge portion of this book of Revelation that is just terror after terror after terrible thing that happens on the earth. But we're just getting started tonight. We're looking at these first four because they kind of go together. Sometimes they're called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You ever heard that phrase before? That's what we're going to talk about. So remember, there's this book. It's sealed up with seven seals. You have to open all seven of the seals to see what's inside of them. And as best we can tell, it doesn't take long for these seals to be opened. Remember, the tribulation, as we understand, it's about 7 years long. And these first seals could be opened very quickly in a matter of, you know, a couple months or a couple years, a short part of that seven-year period. It could take half the time. We don't know. Okay? But really, you're going to hear that a lot as I go through this. We don't know. Okay? Because the truth is, I don't know everything that's going to happen in the tribulation. Anybody that tells you they do doesn't, I mean, that's not the way it works. I have studied great Bible students that are really, really admire, that have given their life to deep study of this stuff, and that I read their stuff on all kinds of different doctrines, and I get to this passage of Scripture, and they're all basically on the same page, but when it comes to details, they're all over the spectrum. And so please, I'm going to give you what I think this means, but it's just that. It's just what I think it means. It's just a sort of a broad overview of this. And I don't know, because it's stuff that happens in the future, and we'll see how God chooses to make this stuff come to pass. But these four seals are open, and I'm going to give you the best understanding that I can of these four seals, and we'll start with verses 1 and 2 here with the first seal. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals and heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, a couple things to notice here, okay? The first thing to notice is that there is a white horse. And a white horse would probably be a symbol of peace. Okay? And on this white horse is a rider. And the rider has a bow. But he doesn't have any arrows. Which, again, is probably a symbol of peace. Okay? It doesn't say anything about him having arrows, just that he has a bow. And he's given a crown. It's interesting, the word for crown there, there's two words for crown in the Bible. There's diadem, you know, we sing, "Bring forth the royal diadem." That's one of the words for crown. And that speaks of a king's crown, a royal crown, okay? The second kind of crown is a Stephanos. And a Stephanos, it's where the word Stephen comes from, okay, is a crown that's given to a victor, okay? Like somebody that wins a race or wins a conquest. And this crown is not a royal crown that's given to him. It's a victor's crown, okay? Basically, what it's saying at this is this person is recognized for their accomplishments. And because of their accomplishments, they're being recognized with this crown. And it says, finally, that he goes forth conquering and to conquer. Now, here is my best guess at what this is talking about. And again, this is just my interpretation. I personally think that the person that's riding this horse refers to the Antichrist. Okay? And that he's going to come at the beginning of this tribulation period and bring about a short period of world peace. He's going to set up some kind of government, world government, and he's going to deceive lots and lots of people. And if you look at the other passages of Scripture that we looked at, if you look at Mark, Jesus talked about how many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. And false Christ and false prophets will come, and if it were possible, even deceive the elect. And you can read through the New Testament, and you can read through prophecy passages in the Old Testament, and they speak consistently of this Antichrist character. And I'm sure we'll get more into this as we go along. But I think someone is going to come on the scene that is so winsome and so persuasive. And they're going to promise peace in such a way that the whole world is going to fall for it. And the whole world is going to basically jump on the bandwagon. And I think that's who this rider is referring to. And you might say, well, that could never happen. People are so divided in this world today, and they are, okay? But there have been times in the past where huge portions of the world have fallen behind some winsome leader. Interesting. You want to know something interesting? Read the things that people were saying about Adolf Hitler in the early 1930s. Okay? Read some of the things that preachers were saying about Adolf Hitler in the early 1930s. It didn't age well. I'll just tell you that, okay? There was a huge groundswell of people that thought Hitler was going to be like the savior of the world after the Great Depression and World War II. And the things that he was able to do in his own country were incredibly impressive. The part that people saw, okay? They didn't see the Gestapo and all that stuff, but the part that the world could see. And he duped a lot of people. A lot of people. All right? And I think when this Antichrist comes along, it's going to be the same kind of character. He's going to be somebody that promises world peace, somebody that's magnetic, that's winsome, that has a lot of success behind him, and people are going to fall in behind this guy. Okay? So that's the first seal. The second seal, you see in verses 3 and 4, so look at those verses with me, it says, and when he'd opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So the second seal is open, and when the second seal is opened, this illusion of world peace immediately dissipates. And people immediately start fighting each other again. And the world, the whole world, descends into war. Worldwide war. Now, some of you were alive, a few of you were alive during the tail end of World War II. And that was tragic. I was reading something like 85 million people died during World War II. And probably 10 times that many people were seriously injured. Okay? There were so many casualties during World War II. You could go to other countries that were affected by the war, like Japan and Germany and France and other parts of Europe, and there were cities that were just leveled. by World War II, and it left a deep poverty that took a long time for many of those countries to come out of. Okay? And this is going to be like World War III. I mean, widespread death and destruction. I remember when I was a kid, people used to talk about World War III. It was the kind of the end of the Cold War. I lived through a little bit of that, and some of you lived through a lot of that. And you remember air raid drills and people talking about having nuclear bunkers and all the fear and the hysteria that went along with that. Well, wouldn't take much for that stuff to come back, okay? And it wouldn't take much for that that stuff to actually come into fruition. And if there ever is a world war, it's not going to be like World War II. It's going to be on a much grander and more terrible scale, because the weapons have just gotten so much worse, okay? Technology has made it so much worse. They didn't have drones that people could sit in a air-conditioned room in Las Vegas and mow people down in World War II. And we definitely have that now, and the enemy probably does too, all right? It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. This World War is going to come along. All right, hate to be pessimistic. Verse 5 and 6. I hate to be pessimistic, but there's a whole section of scripture here that's not getting any better. Okay, I'll give you that. Verses 5 and 6 say this. It says, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see,' and behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil in the wine.'" So this third one is kind of interesting. It's talking about a black horse. And on the black horse is a man with scales in his hand. What does that mean? Balances, scales. Well, it tells us that somebody says a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. Most of the Bible scholars that I've read said that at Roman times, you could buy 10 times as much wheat for a penny. A penny sounds like nothing to us, but a penny was a day's wages. Okay? A penny, a denarii, was the amount a regular worker made in a day. Okay? And they could buy 10 measures of wheat for a penny and 30 measures of barley for a penny. But here, during this, food basically is going to be 10 times as expensive. All right? Think about your grocery budget for a month. Say it's $500, $600, $700. All right? Imagine spending $7,000 for your groceries. That would be difficult, wouldn't it? Anybody here be able to afford that? I couldn't, okay? That's for sure. All right? And it's going to be so expensive that the common people, all they can afford is food. A terrible, terrible famine. People are going to be starving. And it's interesting that it says here, "But see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Most of the people that I read say that was rich people stuff. The oil and the wine was rich people stuff. And the idea seems to be that the poor people of the world are going to be starving to death, and the rich people are going to be just fine. And the rich people are going to keep living their high life while the poor people around them literally starve of famine. So I think that would make it even more terrible, and that will create even more unrest. So that's the first three of these. Look at the last one here, verses 7 and 8. Says, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see," and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed after him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. All right, so this is the worst part. It's talking about the fourth seal. This fourth rider comes on a pale horse, and most commentators say that would be like a light, almost like a vomit green. Was what I read somewhere, okay? Just a gross-looking shade of horse here. And this is the only rider that has a name. And his name is Death. And it says he's got hell behind him. And when this fourth seal is opened, whatever this is causes the death of a quarter of the world's population. Somebody tell me, how many people live in the world today? 7 billion, thereabouts. Okay, 6 to 7 billion. Okay, so a quarter of 7 billion, that's like, I'm really bad at math here, but it's like 1.5 billion people. That's 5 times as many people as live in the United States. Dying quickly. And I don't know what it is. My guess is that a big part of this would happen because of some kind of nuclear explosion or something like that. Talks about war, the sword. Okay, but a quarter of the world's population wiped out, dead in a short period of time. Can you imagine that? Maybe it'll be a plague. Probably lots of things. Okay. In the book of Mark, Jesus described it this way. He said, "There shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows." And we just scratched the surface tonight. This is just the beginning. We're going to look next week at the, again, Lord willing, next week at the fifth seal and the sixth seal, and they kind of have a different character, okay? But these judgments keep getting worse, and it keeps getting harder, okay? It's a pretty terrible and difficult thing to read. So that is the four horsemen of the apocalypse, this first part of Revelation chapter 6. And we'll continue on in verse 9 next week. All right, let's pray, and then Brother Harold, you can come and lead us in a song of invitation, and we'll close. Heavenly Father,